You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
All right. Well, we are starting a brand new series today called The Art of Rest. So we're going to do, it's summertime, it's a great time to rest and have vacation. I know we have a lot of people enjoying the long weekend out at a camping or going to a cottage or taking a trip to another city. And for the next 5 weeks, we're going to do this series starting today called The Art of Rest. And we also have a book that it's based on. And we have these books for sale for $12 if you'd like to have one. They're at the back book table. Let me tell you a little bit where this book, this wasn't just a random book though. It's actually written by our affiliated church in Boston. It's called Aletheia Church, which means truth in Greek. And our pastor there, Adam Mabry, was asked to write this book. And so this is just not a random book, but this is actually one of our Every Nation pastors who wrote this. And that's Adam and Hope and their family, and a great couple. And the way that this book came about was actually by Adam's own admission, okay? So I'm not going to say anything that he wouldn't say himself or isn't in the book. He was like this guy who was like an ultra achiever. I mean, he graduated from university, I think, when he was around 20, and then he became an Every Nation campus minister, and then he went off to Europe, to Scotland for a few years, and was doing campus ministry and outreach there, also doing some studying on the side, because he's always studying. I think he's been in school at one time or another for, I don't know how many years, like 23 years or something. He's been, if you add up all the years, he's been studying, and he's a young man, a lot younger than me. And then he moved to, came from Scotland to Nashville, and that's where I got to know Adam, was in Nashville when we were both living there. And then he planted a church, moved his family to Boston, and he's reaching out, a church like this, reaching out to the campuses like Harvard and the other, Boston's got major universities everywhere, and is just doing a great job. But he was also, in addition to having four kids and now he's finished his master's, he's working on a doctorate degree, and also planting this church, and also four kids, and he bought an old house, a fixer-upper house. His dad was a contractor, and he was also renovating his house. And in the midst of all of that, he realized that he was starting to break down, and that in the past, he had always thought, well, I'll just work harder, but it didn't work this time, and he started to break down emotionally, with depression and anxiety and all kinds of things, and it was interesting. And he's also a blogger. He writes for a website called The Gospel Coalition, if you've heard of that website. So actually a publisher contacted him and said, we'd like you to write a book. And they said, well, what is it going to be on? He said, we want you to write a book on rest. And he laughed. But he thought, this must be from the Lord, because I need to learn how to rest. So this is something where it's actually Adam's testimony was built into this book, because he really needed to learn how to do this, because he wasn't good at it. I've been on vacation the last couple of weeks. We go to a cottage in northern Ontario. I'll show you a picture of what I was looking at in the evening from the dock. And but here's my problem with rest. I can go to northern Ontario, to a beautiful lake. Did you know that Ontario has 250,000 lakes? When I first heard that, I thought, that can't be right. That's too many. And I went onto Wikipedia and things. It actually has 250,000 lakes. And so we were at one of those and just resting and enjoying swimming, getting a tan, and eating too much. But here's my problem with rest. I can even block off a day. We take Fridays off or block off vacation. But here's my problem with rest. My mind never stops. It's like I can be there, and in my mind, I can be working and worrying and thinking about all the things I have to do. So I've got my own issue with this. So I'm really hoping to learn along with all of us. But I think that, to be honest, between that and the how connected we are now with our tablets and our computers and our cell phones, it's hard to ever turn our minds off. I found this funny picture of what it might be like into heaven. Most of the new arrivals seem incapable of conversation. They just stare at their hands in despair. So that's another reason why we need to learn how to rest, is because we're super connected, right? And so I think no matter who we are, all of us need to learn how to rest. So let's pray as we delve into God's word. Father, we thank you for this important topic. We ask that you would inform us from your word, that you would teach us, that we would be transformed, that we can be in line with the rest that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, rest is different than you think, and it's a lot better than you think. Rest is both a gift, and rest is also an art. In our sermon preview, it talked about certain things that even if they're good, you still have to practice them to be good at them. And so when we think of rest, we think of, well, doesn't that just come natural? No, it doesn't. Rest is something that we have to actually, in a sense, practice. That's why it's an art. Just taking a day off, as I've learned, doesn't mean that I'm actually going to be rested and restored. That there's actually purposefulness. We have to learn this rhythm of rest. So let's look at the very first Sabbath, or the very first rest that was ever given. And it actually wasn't a man, it wasn't a woman, it was actually God himself. And in Genesis 2, verses 1 to 3, it says this: "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation." And so we see this pattern of God making the heavens and the earth and making everything, and he declaring it to be good. And after he made man, he said, "It's very good." And then he rested. Now think about it. Was God tired? One of his attributes is that he's omnipotent. In other words, he has all power. He didn't rest because he got tired from all the creating. It was actually very easy for him to create the heavens and the earth. He kind of overdid it in some ways. I mean, when you think that there's, 100,000 galaxies? I mean, Lord, he wasn't tired. But he established in creation this pattern for us. He created, and then he rested to enjoy what he had created. See, and so we see this Sabbath had both a time and a place and a rhythm. And so this work and rest pattern has actually been rooted in creation itself. When you think of the calendar, and you know, where did we find this seven-day rhythm? Where did that come from? Why isn't it 8 days? Why isn't it 10? You know, there have been times in history where they've tried different ones, but it's never really worked out. It's always gone back to a seven-day cycle. It's because God created it, and it's actually in the pattern and the actual rhythm of creation. And so there's work, and then there's rest. There's work, and then there's rest. There's work, and then there's rest. And there's a rhythm to it. But, you know, it's so easy to break that rhythm. And we live in a modern city that here's how the pattern goes. You work, and then you do more work. And then you take your work home with you. And then your boss gives you a tablet, and a cell phone and a computer. Oh, thank you so much, boss. But that's so that you can work in the evenings and on the weekends and when you're on vacation. So don't fall for that. If you're ever offered, hey, we'll give you a, say no, thank you. Actually, I was talking to some members of our church, and they were talking about how they were just asking one another, you know, is there an expectation? I won't tell you what industry they're working in, but it's downtown on Bay Street. And they were saying, just talking to one another and just asking one another, you know, are you kind of expected to at least do some pre-work before you get to work? And they're going, yeah, it's like it just has crept in. So So I'm not saying that we should all revolt, but we have to be very careful, or else we too can break down. Sabbath has both a time and a place. The first Sabbath was in the Garden of Eden. And then the rhythm went to the tabernacle, and then the temple. And now we learn that the temple, we are the temple because God's Spirit now indwells us. So we can have the Sabbath, we can have the temple, but if we don't make time for a time and a place, then we can neglect it. I love the fact that we can be online and that you can be a part of church, you know, in your pajamas. I mean, it's kind of cool. I have to be here, but there's something about when we do that, sometimes we miss the rhythm. You know, the Bible in Hebrews talks about how don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. It can become a bad habit. And so, because what it does is it can break the pattern where you don't think in terms of, okay, this is Sunday. There's something different. There's a once week. And for if you work on a Sunday, then obviously you have to pick another day to rest. So what happens when we have the Sabbath, when we have this break? Why did God create it? I think that there's three things. Sabbath is about stopping and remembering things in Scripture. And what do we remember? We're going to look at three things. There's probably more. But we're going to remember something about God. We're going to remember, first of all, that He rules. Secondly, that He rescues. And third, that He restores. So let's look at the first one, that God rules. In Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11, and this is actually where the Ten Commandments are listed in the Bible, says this, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant, your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." So interesting about the Ten Commandments is that this is the fourth commandment, and it's the longest of all the commandments. The first one, "Thou shalt not have no other gods before me." I mean, some of them are really short, like, "You shall not murder." But the Sabbath, it has more in the Ten Commandments on the Sabbath than any of the other ten, which is just kind of an interesting fact. And it says here, so why on the Sabbath? It says four. When you look at the word four, it's like, because He's appealing to us. He said, keep the Sabbath. Why? Just because God likes making up rules? No. It says because, for God created the world, and He made the world, and He rules the world. You see, here's what happens when we fail to stop and break and have Sabbath, is we forget that God rules. And when we forget that God rules, what happens? Then who has to do the ruling? You and I, right? All of a sudden, it's like the weight of ruling is put back on our shoulders. Because we forgot. No, He's the one who made the world. He's the one who's ruling. In my life, I realized that somehow I grew up thinking that if it's going to be, it's up to me. On my vacation, I was just thinking about my teenage years. I don't know. That's the good thing about when you're just relaxing. Your mind can just let it go anywhere and just wander. And I was thinking about back to when I was 16 years old. And I got my first car. I saved money. And for some reason, even as a teenager, I had this thing that I've got to figure it out myself. Now, part of that can be really good. Okay, I think one of the reasons why God uses me as a church planter and to move from city to city is because I can always figure it out. Just an example of this. When I couldn't afford a good car, so I bought an inexpensive car, and my idea was, I'll fix it up. But I didn't know anything about autos or things, but I always felt like I could just figure it out. And so I bought this book. I think I have a picture of it. I bought this thing called The Big Book of Auto Repair. Now, before YouTube, for you young people, before YouTube, like, there wasn't, this was my YouTube. So I bought this book, and it tells you how to fix a car. And I literally just started doing that. And I'm not talking about just little things. Like, I started with, like, fixing the brakes and things like that. And then I kept going on it until I literally, like, pulled the engine, rebuilt it, put a new transmission in, things like this. I mean, you know, that's how obsessive I can be sometimes. But anyway, I enjoy fixing things. I enjoy learning new things. But all I'm saying is that this is the good side of that, but there's an unhealthy side to it. And I forget that God is the ruler, that he's the one who's ruling over my life. He's the one who's ultimately going to look out after me. I don't have to always be doing it all myself. And I think I've told you guys before that it's one of the reasons why I'm not the best at asking for help. And so help me. It's because in my heart and in my mind, I forget that God's the ruler. Do you ever forget that God's the ruler? Do sometimes the weight of the world go on your shoulders? And you think, oh, it's all up to me. I got to work so hard. Now, you do have to work and you do have to be diligent. This isn't an excuse for laziness, but I'm saying people who come to this city, their problem isn't that they're lazy. Their problem is more often than not that they're driven. And so we've got to remember that he is the one who rules. And when we take that break, it gives us an opportunity to remember, hey, Bert, I'm ruling. Secondly, we can also that he rules in our lives. This is the other thing I was thinking about. When we break, we can ask ourselves the question about his rulership. Am I really following the call? Meaning, that's a phrase we use at this church, meaning that God has called each of us for a path that he has. And a lot of times, it's easy to slip into the path that someone else you feel the pressure of. It's easy to feel that. It's easy to feel, oh, that everybody or different people have expectations for us. And all of a sudden, we start living for the approval of others. We live for the expectations of others. That's another dimension of rulership, where God says, no, 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 I'm your Lord and Savior. I'm your ruler. Yes, listen to your friends. Yes, listen to your family, but not driven by them. You know, at the end of your life, we're going to stand before God, and he's, thankfully, we're redeemed because of the blood of the Lamb, but we're going to be held accountable for the stewardship of our life, not someone else's. God's going to look at us and say, what did you do with what I gave you? The talents, the gifts, the call that I had on your life. And you can't say, yeah, but, you know, my mom wanted me to be an accountant, so I signed up for accounting. And God said, yeah, but you know I called you to be something else. Uh-oh. Now, there's grace, but I just want to challenge all of us. We need to be following the rulership of God in our life. We listen to friends, we listen to family, we honor them, and we're open, but ultimately, God's the ruler. He's the one who has something for us to do, a calling on our lives for us to follow, and we've got to follow that. So not only does Sabbath give us time to remember God rules, secondly, it helps us to remember that he rescues, that he rescues. Deuteronomy 5, verses 12 through 15, again reiterates the Sabbath, but just in a little different way. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your sons, your daughters, or your male servants, or your female servants, your ox or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the sojourner within your gate. Sound familiar, right? That your male servant and your female servant may rest as well. Now look, this is the part that's different than how it was listed in the Ten Commandments. You shall remember, and what shall we remember? You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. here it talks about the nation of Israel. For those of you who are unfamiliar with the Bible, in the Old Testament, it gives the account of the nation of Israel. The first person that God called to launch the nation of Israel was a guy named Abraham. And through the course of time, the nation of Israel came into bondage in Egypt. They were slaves. They, for 400 years, they were under the oppression and the rule of Egypt. And God delivered them through a guy named Moses and took them out of Egypt and into their own land, which is the area where they live now. But it wasn't easy. That if you look at the history, they were slaves. They had to make bricks out of straw, and their oppressors were incredible. They were incredibly harsh on them, and it looked like there was no way that they were ever going to be able to be delivered. It looked like there was just no way. And God performed signs and wonders to free them and did all kinds of miracles to get them out. And so he called his people to remember that I'm the rescuer. So what is it in our lives? When we have a Sabbath, we're supposed to remember that, you know what? The things in our lives are just like, can be like taskmasters. You know, when you're having a hard time, maybe you're waking up in the night and you're worried. My guess, just because I know the statistics, but a good number of you have difficulty sleeping at night. You don't have peaceful night sleep. And there's seasons of my life where that's where I've been at. And you can say you wake at 2:30 in the morning and you're worried about something, and all of a sudden it's like, it feels like oppression. It feels like Egypt. It feels that way. And when we take that time for a Sabbath, what God wants us to do is slow down and say, I'm your rescuer. Not only I'm the ruler, but I'm the rescuer. And I don't care how much bondage you're in. I don't care how much difficulty and oppression that you feel. With my mighty hand, I am going to take you out of that. But if we don't ever take a break and remember that, do you know what will happen? We'll go another day and then another day and another day, never giving ourselves the opportunity to hear the voice of God in our lives, to hear that voice that says, I'm your mighty deliverer. Weeping may come in the night, but there's a shout of joy that's going to come in the morning. So when we rest, when we take that break, we can once again hear the voice of God saying, I'm your rescuer. I'm the one who's taking you out of it. I mean, that's how it feels like the modern enemies. I mean, none of you are making bricks out of straw, last time I checked. None of you are, you know, slaves and in shackles and things like that. But there is spiritual oppression on our hearts and our minds. It's very real. We're in a warfare, and it's real. But God is a rescuer for us, no matter what it is. And finally, he restores. He restores. Matthew 11, 28 and 29, the words of Jesus, he said, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Ultimately, Jesus is the one who gives us what we need on the Sabbath. In fact, he gives us what we need every day. So it's not even that we need to do certain things. Okay, well, if I don't, you know, do certain things on the Sabbath, then, you know, you know, things won't work well. No, that Jesus is the one who restores. Because we don't only need his rulership, we don't only need to be rescued, but we need our souls to be filled over and over again. You see, we can just get depleted. All of a sudden, instead of feeling the joy, instead of feeling the peace, instead of feeling what the Bible talks about, the fruit of the Spirit, we can begin to feel something different. And Jesus is the one who says, come to me. I'm going to do it. I'm going to restore you. That heaviness that you feel, I'm the one who takes it away. Jesus, yes, he ascended into heaven, but he is right here by the power of his Spirit. And he's still at work in restoring us and giving us the new energy, giving us what we need. And today, it's the first Sunday of the month, and we're going to receive communion, the Lord's table together. And one of the things I want to us to focus on as we take it is, let us be reminded, because even communion is a reminder. It's a reminder that God, that through Jesus, is the one who rules. He's got us. He's the one who rescues. He's taken us out, but he's also the one who restores. And my prayer for us is that we would experience, even now and here, a fresh restoration. For some of you, you might be saying, man, I just feel like I'm not cruising through life. I'm kind of just like barely hanging on. Maybe you're in that season. Then today, as you take communion, say, Lord, refresh me. Lord, renew me. Lord, I need to be filled up again with your presence. And he is faithful to do it. Amen. And so I put this in my notes for me because I need to do what I'm telling you. And I put this. It was like I was letting the Lord speak to my heart. Bert, I want to remind you that I'm ruling in these situations. I'm ruling over them. Bert, I want to let you know that I'm lifting your burdens of anxiety and depression. I am rescuing you. Bert, I want to remind you that my power is once again flowing into you by the power of my Spirit. I'm restoring your soul. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this first in the series of messages as we learn not just to rest, but to be renewed and understand the purpose of why you call us to rest and to be renewed. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the restorer, that you're the rescuer, that you're the ruler. And we give you the praise. We give you the glory. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.